may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Very good. Very good. Why don't you give a hand to Charlie and Gail? 60 years yesterday. One of the best quotes that came out of yesterday is Charlie was walking out the door of our house and he said, 60 years with the wrong man, but man, did he enjoy it. Now, I don't agree with the first part of that statement, but that's how he said it. And it was, so that's why I quoted it that way. But I don't think it was the wrong man, because if it was the wrong man, then why would they have lasted 60 years? Yeah. God is good. We took lots of pictures yesterday. Some of you might have seen them on Facebook, but if you didn't, I'm sure that we have 229 on Jen's phone that you can see what the family looks like. So, and then if that's not enough, then Caroline took a bunch too. She's not here now, but she took a bunch as well. And then if that's not enough, then Aaron took a bunch too. And I'm sure that they're all around the 200 mark of family pictures. So. If you can't get enough of the Lambert family, then you might as well come see us, and we'll give you pictures. Yeah, how are we all doing? You're doing good? I think I'm doing good too. That is going to throw me off that there's somebody in the front row over there. Just saying, but you're okay to stay there. It's just, yeah, I'm not used to that part though. Ran across a quote a few weeks ago. And it says this: it's crazy how the presence of God can completely change your mood and attitude in an instant. One worship song, one whispered prayer, one scripture verse can take you from the absolute worst mindset to a place of such peace and joy. There's nothing like the presence of God. Do you agree? It can change. Your life can change in a moment. Because of a song that is sung, because of a scripture verse that is read, or because of a small word that someone says to you, or a whispered prayer. And it's just the presence of God. Now imagine, if you will, if that was something that was constant, that every moment of your life was dwelt in that spot. It's in some ways, in church, it's easy to think and go, yeah, you know, that's amazing. But what about when the thing hits you? When something hits you, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden you have to think, and it takes that word, that worship song, it takes that scripture verse, it takes something. But can we get to that point where that's the first place we go when something hits us? Rather than one of the last resorts. I'm just posing these questions. I'm going to read to you from my theme verse today. Is Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And it simply says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." Amen, praise God, let's go home. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now there are some verses, or some translations that are a little bit different than that. They might say that he's removed us from the domain of darkness, and that he has another word that means transferred, and I can't think of it right now. I did have it before the service, but for some reason my brain has decided to shut off for that moment. So, but it's just that he has taken us from the one and moved us to the other. So I want to... I have done this a little bit before, but I'd like to know, first of all, we'll put Colossians 1:13, but then kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of the beloved Son. Can anybody tell me something that is in the kingdom of darkness? Satan? Sickness? Okay. Evil? Well, I heard something else. Black? Lack. Thank you. Because if you were going to say black, I was like, oh no, we have, yeah. Lack. Lack and or poverty. Can I just throw one in here? Curses? Anybody else? Doubt? Darkness? Hate? What was the last one, Neil? Oh, that wasn't Neil. Huh? That's funny. He had a crackly voice and very low today, so all of a sudden I thought that Dawn, I'm sorry. Self-centeredness. Is that spelled with the R-E or the E-R? Well, just E-R, just in case. Just for those grammatical people. Anything else? I can put more. I don't have to, but if you're wanting to. Depression. Fear. Anxiety. Shame. Homelessness. Okay. What is the opposite of darkness? So we could also put here light. Kingdom of light. Kingdom of this beloved Son. So what would you put under the kingdom of the beloved Son? Love. Forgiveness. Peace. What was that? Adoption. Okay. I heard something else. Mercy. Prosperity. Can I change that word to provision? People get offended by the word prosperity. So I'm just going to, that's why I change it to provision. It's an abundance. Hey, abundance. Joy. Hope. Jesus. It fits all in this one. Anything else? We don't have to go any further, but if you're wanting to, we can put it in. Honesty. So I'm going to just add that one over here. Dishonesty. Oh, freedom. Did I hear health? Okay. Truth. Trust. There's one big one that I'm not seeing up there, but well, we can put that one too. Yes. What was that? Sorry. Healing. That's under health. I'm also going to highlight that one. You know what? I'm going to highlight. Oh, I'd have to highlight all of them. Never mind. I'm going to put in brackets on that one. Faithfulness. Yeah, that's a good start. So, to combat these, what would you do? What's the best method to combat this? I mean, it's accept Jesus. What is Jesus? He's truth. How about this word? Word of God. Where would we find the Word of God? Simple. It's in the Word of God. Right? So, if we were to look at... Okay, this is just slightly in the way. I need it later, so it's here. But if we were going to look at sickness, where would you go in the Word of God to combat sickness? What's that? Okay, give me some. Where is it found? Isaiah 53, verse 5. By his stripes we are healed. You don't have to know the scripture verses, but it sure does help. You have concordances, most of you, in the back of your Bible, or you have your iPhone that you can find them. It does help. But just having that to know, I can turn to Isaiah 53, verse 5. I can turn to 2 Peter 2, verse 24. Same thing, by his stripes we are healed. I can, when it comes to fear, I don't even know all these scripture references. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. When you need, it works on this side too. When you need love, where would you go? How would you define love? God is love. 1 John 4, verse 17. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Or John 3:16. Or Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. The Word of God is our tool. What is it in the hands of a soldier? It's the sword. What is the sword? Of all of the armor, what is the sword? It's the offense. Everything else in there is defense. So you take the sword out and you use it to combat the kingdom of darkness. So let me ask you something. When Scripture doesn't line up with your experience that you are having in life, or even your interpretation of that Scripture, what do you do? Nobody's answering? Find out what God says. How do you find out what God says? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay. What's that? Rebuke the situation. Our goal in this is to change me, right? So if this isn't lining up with what, or if me is not lining up with this, and that includes all my experiences, then is the problem with Scripture? Where's the problem? With me. Now you can, I can hear the questions, because this is what happens. But what about Aunt Gertrude, who died of cancer? I'm sorry. That doesn't line up with Scripture. Because she shouldn't die of cancer. She can die of not having any breath left. But this says, this is a big one. If you ever get the opportunity, study Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who has forgiven all my sins and healed all my diseases. Now, I have heard people defend against those scriptures by saying, those are the Psalms and they're not to be taken literally. How many can tell me that this Bible is God-breathed? Anybody agree with me? Does anybody agree with me that this Bible has errors in it? It does? It does have errors in it? So if it says all, what does all mean? It means all, right? So if it heals all my diseases, let me just back up a bit. How many of you believe that he has forgiven all of my sins? Woohoo! Why? Because in all honesty, you can't see forgiveness. It's easy to believe in because you can't see it. But we look for proof of the healing of diseases. All our diseases are healed. Stop looking for the proof. Just believe the word. Just believe the word. That's why faith is highlighted. Faith is the substance of what? Things not seen. So once I apply my eyes to it, I no longer have faith. I have hope. But faith is the substance of hope. Oh, goodness sakes, that's deep. You'll have to just chew on that one for a while. So when you see something that he is our healer, that's in Scripture. You see something that he's our provider. You see that he calls us blameless. He calls us righteous. He says that grace is free. Now, do you believe those scriptures? Here, I'm going to give you a new one. Not a new one because it's in the Bible, but a different one for today. Colossians 2:15. We're going to wait for it. It's coming. There it is. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Now, look at that first phrase. When he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities. They don't have any weapons. The enemy has no weapon. Because he's been disarmed. That's interesting, right? Hey, where do the fiery darts come from? Have you ever thought of the fact that we place those things in his hands? Now, I'm not saying that we have sickness and we give it to the devil so that he can give it back to us. I'm not saying that. But we give the devil more power than what he has. If he's been disarmed, he has no power. Who has the power? I'm hearing a lot of loud answers except the one that I really want. Thank you. I was wanting it loud. I wasn't just wanting the same answer. I was wanting it loud. We do. I like the Christ answer. Because we are not Jesus Christ, but we are Christ. We are the anointed ones. We are the ones that have the anointing. Because Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and I give it to you. So we have the power. We have the power over all of this stuff in the kingdom of darkness. Why? Because we actually no longer live here. We live here. We have been transferred from here to here. From here to here. Do we still suffer from some of these things? Do we have victory over these things? We do. We do. It's not a can. It's a do. We do have victory. The Bible says in another spot, He has given us the victory in all things. Again, there's a word that says all. And that all means the same as it did 10 minutes ago when I mentioned it the first time. It means all. We do have the victory. Do we see it? We can. We have it, but do we see it? Provision. We have it, do we see it? Love. We have it, do we see it? Forgiveness. We have it, do we see it? Peace. We have it. Do you see what I'm getting at? We already have the kingdom of light. It's in us. Do you not know that the kingdom of God is in you? Jesus said that. He said it's in the midst of you. It's among you. It is you. The kingdom of God. So if it's there, we have these things already. It's to see them. That is the key. How do we get to that point? We already talked about it. With faith. How do we get faith? The Word of God. What do we need faith in? The Word of God. How do we get faith? The Word of God. Do you see a point here? If you are a writer, that is your main point. In absolutely any sermon that I preach, the Word of God is the key. The Word of God. We'd like to have our experiences define the Word of God. We won't say it, but that's how we act. Let's change that around. Let's have the Word of God change our life, because that's what it's supposed to do. That's the whole point of it. So, the enemy has been disarmed. He doesn't have any weapons, right? We've seen that, Colossians. Well, what if he does? What if he has a weapon? Where can you turn if God, if all of a sudden you have an experience and you say, oh no, the Satan is attacking me with a weapon? Well, come on, I'm giving you hints so many times on that. How about Isaiah 54:17? What? No. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. So even if he has a weapon, it has no use. His weapon does not have anything against me. Terrell spoke on this earlier. He said that the enemy was created by God. The destroyer was created to destroy. That's just a few verses up. And he was created to make weapons. But no weapon formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the saints, of the servants of the Lord. It's like, that's our heritage. That these weapons are created, but they have no power, first of all, because they're disarmed. And secondly, they can't do anything against us, even if they were armed. That should be shouting stuff right there. So now the question. Do you believe it or not? Do you believe it or not? Do you believe that he has been disarmed? And do you believe that those weapons have nothing against you? Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? Do you really believe it? Like, I'm talking really believe it. Do you believe? You can say it to me all you want. Do you really believe that all your diseases are healed? Do you really believe that all your sins are forgiven? Let me ask you. If you truly believe in forgiveness, do you still live in shame? If you still believe, if you still live in shame, you don't believe in forgiveness of all your sins. That's what I'm saying. Just think about that for a moment. If you truly believe he forgives all of your sins, then there's nothing to be ashamed of. Because he's forgiven it all. So why would you be ashamed of something that's forgiven? In fact, he says that when he forgives you, he has thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west. So he doesn't remember it. You bring it up to him, and he's like, what the heck are you talking about? He probably doesn't use the word heck. Just saying. I'm trying to put emphasis there. So let's look at others. Do you truly believe he is our peace? And if we cast all our cares upon him, we have peace. Then why do you have anxiety? If you have anxiety, you don't believe in his peace in fullness. You might believe it in part, but it's not there in fullness. But Pastor Corey, you can't have peace all the time. Sure you can. I've told you my process. When Don came up to me and told me he had a stroke and that he was going for surgery, I told him I'd pray for him. Let me ask you, when did I pray for him? Right there. Don, did I actually say the words? No. Why? Because I took his burden, because the Bible says, take his burdens upon me. I'm supposed to take them. I'm supposed to bear my brother's burdens. But guess what? I'm not supposed to be burdened. I'm supposed to cast them onto Jesus. So in my spirit, I said, that's gone. It's done. I prayed. We get this mentality that because the Bible says you lay your hands on them, they are healed, that you have to lay your hands on them. Did Jesus lay his hands on everyone he healed? Did Jesus speak words to those people to get them healed? Not all of them. We get these mentality things. We get these things that we have to speak the certain words, but we don't. We have to understand the depth of our spirit and our relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying it's bad to pray for people. It's good to pray for people. It's good to let them hear that you're praying for them, but you don't have to every single time. You can allow your spirit to take over. What happens when you don't know what to pray? Do you pray anyways? Did you know that you could pray something and actually be a blockade? Because you pray amiss? So it is much better to not speak the word than to speak a prayer that's going to block it. What do? Romans 8. When you don't know what to pray, the Spirit knows your weaknesses and he will pray with groanings and that other word for you. He does it for you. How does he do that? Your spirit connects with his spirit. Did you know that your spirit is perfect? Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit will communicate with the Holy Spirit and allow it to do the right thing. But when I add my mind and my body to it, I can all of a sudden block what the Spirit is wanting to do. Wow! I try to be extremely careful when I utter words of prayer. Because my words can bring death and life. Book of Proverbs tell us that the power of death and life are in the tongue. And so why would I speak words, any prayer even, that would block life? We need to be so careful. We need to be careful in how we talk about things. We talk about things that bring the darkness. It brings the weapon into the hands of the enemy. We speak words of anxiety. We speak words of fear and depression and shame, of dishonesty. Did you know that a lot of your ribbing that I am a part of, because I do, I rib people. Did you know that that's dishonest? You're speaking words and then you say, just kidding. Just kidding is another word to say, I just lied to you. That's not really the truth. I do it too. It happens. I know it does. It is wrong. In fact, the Bible says that saying the words just kidding is like sticking a knife in your neighbor's back. That's in the book of Proverbs, I believe. Just being honest with you. What? No, because then it proves things. Then I have to change. I don't want to change. Go ahead, put it up. That was sarcastic. And sarcasm is like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? For those of you who do this, please do not feel shame. Please know the forgiveness of God. But please know the power of your words. But how much do we speak sickness instead of health? Oh, my kid is suffering from this. You're right. God heals. End of story. Will it happen? It really depends on a lot of things. Really depends on a lot of things. We won't get into that because that's really not this message, and I'm only through page one. So the question that I have for you, where do you get your beliefs from? Now, the church answer is awesome. Because the church awesome says, I get my beliefs from the Word of God. Woo-hoo! Because the Word of God is truth. But I was watching the news the other day. Do you know the one word that negates everything you believe? Do you know what it is? But. I believe in healing, but. Believe in forgiveness, but. I believe that God provides, but. Just as a precursor to what I'm about to say, this was the title of my message back about 5 years ago. Start believing in God's but, not your own. Seriously, when the Bible says, but God, he is doing something that is against what was thought of. We do the exact same thing in our words. When we go through any type of trouble, God is my source for all my strength. But man, I'm going through a lot. Just negated my belief. How about this? I'm going through a lot, but God is my source of strength. Said the exact same thing, but different. Where do you get your beliefs from? I could go on a rant and a rave of all the things that we like to get our truth from, but that's not the truth. This is. Romans 12, 1 and 2 are quoted often in church. Let's read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So this one says, and do not be conformed to this pattern, this world. Go to New King James Version, please. It's somewhere in there. I know it is. Okay, that didn't do it. Go to the New International Version, please. There we go. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. I like this translation of that. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Because a lot of times, this is the pattern of the world. Do we have any seamstresses here? People who like to sew? Yeah, don't be so shy. Come on, I'm not just asking a question. Do we have people who like to sew? Do you use patterns? Okay, what do you do? Why do you have a pattern? So that the arm is not here. I know it would be pretty impossible, but if you don't follow the pattern, you have never seen me sew. I actually have sewed, but we'll go there some other day. We follow patterns because we like to be conformed. Why do you come to church at 10:30 on a Sunday morning? Because that's the pattern that was set. We like to conform. Why? Because we want to go to church. That's why. The reason is we want to go to church. The pattern is 10:30 on a Sunday morning. So we conform. Does that mean we want to be here? But you know what? This is easy. How many of you have made a shirt or a dress without a pattern? I didn't say you can't. How many of you have? And how much easier is it to follow the pattern? It's so much easier to follow the pattern. So why don't we follow a pattern that's from the kingdom of God? Rather than, it's going to be harder. This is like level infinity compared to level one. It's easy to fall into this. Even the strongest of Christians can fall into this. Just look at how many ministries fail because they go here and the rest of the people don't have this. Just a word, not going there. The word of God is to be our basis for belief. We are to not be conformed to the patterns of the world, the patterns of the kingdom of darkness. We should have the patterns of the kingdom of his beloved son, because that's where we've been transferred into. But then here's the key. Did you know that my beliefs have changed from time to time? You can just listen to the sermons. We got them back to 2016. January of 2016 is when we started recording. Not video, so you'd have to do audio. But you could listen and you'd see the changes in my beliefs, in some of them. And it's not necessarily because I was wrong. But as I increase in knowledge of the Word and in what it says, when I increase in the knowledge of the Word of God and of God, my beliefs will modify. They will evolve. They will change. And that's natural for anyone who studies the Word. How many times have you read the Scriptures and all of a sudden you say, I never read that one before? I can almost guarantee you have, but you didn't see it in that light for some reason. Because the Holy Spirit brings on inspiration. That's why it's a living and active Word of God, because it does so many things for us. It allows us to be changed. John chapter 1, verse 4. Now that we're done the introduction. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. No comment. That should be self-explanatory. In him was life, and the life was the light of the world. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that I stand right here, but you sit right there. So, John 8, verse 12. Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. That is Jesus, who is the Word of God. The light of life. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In him there is no darkness at all. How many of you believe, I'm going to turn my back on this one. How many of you believe that everything that happens is the will of God? Even when you get sickness. Even when you, why is this one missing? Sin. Even when there's lack or poverty. Even when there's evil in your life. Even when there's depression or fear, anxiety, shame, homelessness, dishonesty, doubt, darkness, hate, self-centeredness. Are those the will of God? If you believe so, then you do not believe that verse. In him is no darkness at all. He is the light of the world. He is the light of life. If you follow him, you will walk in the light and not in darkness. Are you catching what I'm trying to say here? 1 John 1, 5 and 7. I stopped at the first verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is not just talking about sin, even though sin is in the verse. Because if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and he is in the light, how? There is no darkness in him at all, and he walks in the light. He is the light. It's all-encompassing. Psalm 119, verse 105. goodness, there's a lot of verses in this one, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's just turn back a few pages to verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word. The word. It's important. It's the most important thing. It is the light to our path. And if we have it in our hearts, we won't sin against him. The light, we walk in this and we do not have darkness in us. Why? Because we use the word as our basis. So what is the path? I should have brought other colors because I don't like using red. What is the path? No, the word is a light to our path. I'd like to change that just a little bit and just say it is the knowledge of who we are. They're not going to be able to read that online, are they? But I'm running out of room. It's the knowledge of who we are. The word lights our path. It does involve salvation, yes, but it's more than just salvation. It's our walk. It's our walk with God, and our knowledge of who we are determines where we're going, how we go. It's the path. The light is the word. So now we walk in the light of life. So let's say there's a flashlight. I have a bad art history. And the light is shining onto the path. What's outside the light? So darkness is here. Darkness is here. Darkness is here. But darkness is also here. We get too far ahead of ourselves, we actually are walking in darkness. We need to stay where the light is. So now, how dark is it in here? It's not very dark? Is that what I heard? So, if it's not dark, will light shine? Look. Who can't see? So you shouldn't have sat there. So I got to do this? Is that what you're saying? Can you guys see it? I had to do it here because they can't see it on the camera if I do this. So there's light. So that means there's darkness because the light is penetrating it. You understand? I already heard somebody give away the answers. So in that light, is there darkness? How do you know? How does this go on? Oh, there it is. So now, is there darkness? Go ahead, Terrell. Guess what? This is not to discourage you at all. No matter how much light you have within you, there's still darkness. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. There's still darkness. Now, you notice that every single one of those lights was a different type of light. We had the incandescent. Now, this used to be, back when I bought it, this was one of the brightest types of lights you could buy. It's called a mag light. The cops used to use it. And it was huge bright. And I was like, I can't wait till I get one. And then I did, and then like within probably months, LEDs came out, including the LED adapter for the mag light. And I was upset because I no longer had the brightest light around. But like even this little thing is more powerful than that. But even that is not as powerful as a laser. But you even look at it, the sun shining down, and you can put a laser and it'll overcome that light that comes from it. You look at a shadow. A shadow is just a symbol that there is darkness. Why? Because there's something blocking the light. So guess what? In some instances, there is something shadowing us from the light. We have darkness. I don't like it. I would like to say that I'm as saved as I ever will be. And guess what? I am. Why? Because it's my spirit that's saved. My spirit is perfect. But I'd love to say that my mind and my body are the same. But you can just look at me and know that that's not true. My body is not perfect. My mind is not perfect. I still do things that are in the dark that follow that pattern. I desire to follow this pattern. But this doesn't always happen. I desire that I have as much faith as I possibly can get, but I can tell you that I'm not going to. You know what's really fun? I prayed for no distractions today, and we were just distracted from a very key point, at the very point that it shouldn't have been. You wouldn't believe how many times in evangelism that I have been in, that as soon as I start to ask the question, would you like to receive what I have for you? That is the moment the kids cry. That is the moment the phone rings. That is the moment something happens that distracts them from the truth. Why? Because there's darkness here. We need to have more faith. I don't have it all. I want it. I want that faith. I want to see it in so many different areas of my life that I'm not seeing it right now. But guess what? That doesn't detract me from the truth that's here just because I'm not seeing it. There are a lot of things that are written in here that I can look at and I can say, wow, I wish that would happen. One of them is so that I never have to step on a plane again. But that instantaneously the Holy Spirit takes me from this place to that place. Can I believe in that? Sure I can. Why? Because it's in here. But people will say, well, that was a special circumstance. It was. You know why? Because Philip Pro is a follower of God. That's why it was special. I would love to have a potluck where we don't run out of meat. The people behind me at the potluck we had a couple weeks ago, I think I left a meatball. I only had three. But we ran out of meat. And you can hear testimonies around the world of it happening. And those are special circumstances. Why? Because they're children of God. It can happen. Why? Because we have it. We have it. We're just not seeing it yet. Can you put up the lyrics for the first verse of What a Friend We Have in Jesus? Most of you already know it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Go on. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Carry on. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Next. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Carry on. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory, bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Why are we struggling through? Why do we struggle through? Because we're human. Can I ask you a question? Can humans live here? Where should we live? You know what? I would much rather live here all the time, continually, constantly, with that word of encouragement that allows the presence of God to fill my life in everything, in all situations, at all times. The problem is that I'd like to visit here. And sometimes it's a long stay. I take a vacation from the perfect life. But I can live there continually. I talked to you about prayer earlier, and even in my prayers that are offered in the Spirit, there is something to them. You wouldn't believe the countless amount of times people have come to me and told me that my prayers worked. And in some of those instances, I even forgot the fact that it happened. But why? Because my spirit connected. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Says, the beginning part says, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, I've seen that also. It says that you ask amiss. You ask without substance. We ask a lot of things in our prayers, but do we really have the faith to believe that what we have or what we ask for, we're going to have? Jesus says, more times than I can count right now, that we have what we ask for. So why don't we? It's because of the word? The word's wrong? No. The word is not wrong, because it is proved in so many different places. But we ask because we ask wrong. We ask wrong. We need to shine more light on our situation. And I'm not just talking about the thing that actually is happening. I'm talking about my path. That I also need to know what God is saying about my situation. So I go to the Word. And when I find it in the Word, I find it in another place in the Word. Then I find it in another place in the Word. And I continually do that. And then I apply the Word to my prayer. Because the word
builds the faith. And the faith, it says that when you have these things, you believe that you receive, so that what you receive is what you asked for. And it's based on the Word of God. If it's not based on the Word of God, I can almost guarantee you it's not going to happen. So remind God. Lord, did you not say in your Word that all of my diseases are healed? Did you not say that by his stripes I am healed? Did you not say that he came for the forgiveness of my sins and the healing of all my diseases? Did you not say that my soul is blessed and all that is within me is blessed? And I'm not supposed to forget any of the benefits, yet I've forgotten some, Lord. I admit that. But one of them is that all of my diseases are healed. Oh, yes, and Lord, I have this zit on my face that I really want gone. I'm being facetious on that. But it can be true. It's the successful pattern. Being reminded in our own selves of his promises. Standing on them in faith. But also reminding him. He tells us, remind me what I told you. Why? Not for his benefit, because he remembers. It's for our benefit. So that we remember what his promises are. And then we stand on those things because they are in the Word of God. And in doing so, we will find ourselves walking more and more in the kingdom of light. Why? Because it's word-based. Not because it looks good. Now, please do not be discouraged when something is going wrong in your life. Be encouraged to increase in faith. To increase in the Word. You know, I've heard people tell me that they don't have time to study the Word. That's sad. You know, even just reading a scripture in the morning and then meditating on it all day long, or meditating it when you have the opportunity, is better than nothing. Have your devotions, then meditate on it. Use that opportunity to grow in your faith. If things don't happen, try again tomorrow. If things don't happen, try again the next day. If things don't happen, try again the next day. And even increase it 3 times a day. And you know what I would do? I have done this in the past. Add communion to it. By yourself, have a glass of juice and a cracker. And remind yourself of what he did on the cross. It doesn't say anywhere that we have to gather together to have communion. It just says, whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. It might be the tool that you need to boost your faith even further. I don't know. I'm trying to give you tools. I'm trying to build you up so that you can see this happening. I want to live in the kingdom of light. I don't even want a vacation in the kingdom of darkness. And I trust that I will get more and more comfortable here. And maybe I'll get further and further and further away from the border so it's harder to go across. Maybe my passports won't come in. Won't get into that story. So, Father, I pray that the word that has been given today increases the faith of all that hear. We all have trials. We all have things that are going on in our life that does not line up with Scripture. And I pray, God, that we will be persistent and diligent and resilient so that we can see that the weapons were taken away, and that even if it is there, it has no power. It can't do a thing, because those promises are there. Allow us to see the light. Allow us to walk in the light. Allow us to know no darkness. I'm going to let Jen play this song or sing maybe, and if you would please just take a moment. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me today? And Lord, help me to listen.